Amen. We're talking about the anatomy and physiology of the church. We looked at the skeletal structure. We began looking at the internal organs, the inward attitudes that we must have in order for the church to be right with God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Our Father, bless us. Teach us, guide us into a further understanding of your word. And then, Lord, I pray that we would live it out for your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. Today, we talk about the inward attitude of joy. Now, you will see the word and hear the word joy a lot over the next couple weeks. It's Christmas time. Joy to the world. But the world has no idea what joy is. They can't. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ. It's amazing how we want to celebrate Christmas, but leave Christ out. It is impossible to do. We're told here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Have you ever thought about joy as a command? The fact is, the Christian not only has the reason to be joyful, the Christian has the responsibility to be joyful. As with every command in Scripture, disobedience, therefore, is sin. Not to be joyful is to be sinning. And Christians do not have the opportunity to be a sourpuss. It just can't happen. It should not happen. For it to happen is sin. But Pastor, I don't have the capacity to be happy all of the time. We're not talking about happiness. We're talking about joy. Happiness is outward and based on circumstances. Joy is inward and based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've truly repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you can always be joyful. Why? You've been commanded to be such. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. There are, number one, some stumbling blocks to this joy in our Christian life. Stumbling blocks. The first stumbling block in our lives to joy would be sin in our lives. If there is sin in your life, you will not be joyful. The number one reason that Christians do not have joy is because they've allowed sin to enter into their life and they allow it to stay there. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Look at David's suffering when his sin was unconfessed to God. He admits what he was going through here for those months that he was away from God. Sin was in his life, unrepentant, unconfessed. He was wrong with God. Look at Psalm 32, verse number 3. When I kept silence, he's talking about before confession of the sin to God. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. He said, I was just a mess. God's hand of conviction was heavy on me. No joy. I couldn't cry anymore. Everything was dried up. My bones were waxing old. It was horrible in that sin. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. In Psalm 32, where we read, is David, after he's confessed his sin and looking back at his feelings and what God did for him, Psalm 51 is David's prayer of confession to God, asking for God's forgiveness. And he says in Psalm 51, verse number 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." He said, restore unto me what? The joy of thy salvation. Why? It was gone. It was no longer with him. No longer joyful. No longer rejoicing. Why? He was no longer right with God. There was sin in his life. And joy is based on a relationship. And that relationship suffers when the believer sins. Now, how do you enter into that relationship with God? You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How is that done? Well, you realize that you are a stinking, selfish sinner who deserves no less than hell. and you repent and you trust Christ and you are born again. You are saved. You enter into a relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. And our joy is based on the fact that we have a relationship with God. Our sins are gone. They've been removed from us, no longer a sinner. I'm a child of God. I have a relationship with God. I am right with God. Amen. That brings joy. But when sin re-enters the life, fellowship is broken. Fellowship is messed up. The relationship doesn't change. Our fellowship suffers because communion is broken. I've told you the story before. When I was a teenager and I did something against the rules at home, I knew I was wrong, and I knew my dad knew I was wrong. I stayed away from my dad. He was still my dad. I was still his son. But if he was upstairs, I was downstairs. If he was in the front yard, I was in the backyard. Where he was, I wasn't, until the relationship came back together again, until communion, fellowship was restored by my confessing my sin, by my being confronted with my wrongdoing, by my getting it right with my dad. God is a holy heavenly Father. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We don't come into His presence with unconfessed sin in our lives. There is no communion. There is no fellowship. It is broken. And therefore, there is no joy in the believer's life when that happens. What did Adam do the moment he realized he had sinned? He ran and hid from God. Now, what should he have done? Run to God and confess that he ran and hid from God. That's what we do too often. We sin, we hide. We need to run to God, confess it, and get it right with Him. Why is there no joy in some Christian's life? Because there's sin in their lives. Second stumbling block is misplaced confidence. Misplaced confidence. In Philippians chapter number 3, Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 1, Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. When we put our trust in anything or anyone else, it will fail, and our joy will be lost. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul will go on to point out how that confidence placed in good works or religious attainment is the opposite of rejoicing in the Lord. He tells them, "Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He's saying, if you want to talk about what you did religiously, I did more. I did everything I was supposed to do as a Pharisee and then some. But it brought nothing. It didn't gain me grace of God. It didn't gain me my salvation. Only trusting Christ did that. So I put my trust in the Lord. Amen. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what else are you supposed to trust Him for? try that again. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what else are you supposed to trust Him for? Everything. We forget that. We forget that. We're supposed to trust Him for everything. Go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That those of you who have trusted Christ, you have eternal life, keep trusting Christ. Keep trusting in Him. We're told in the book of Romans, the book of Habakkuk, the book of Galatians, the just shall live by what? Faith. That's the just, the ones who've already been saved by faith. The ones who've already placed their faith in Jesus Christ, now they shall live by faith, trusting in God, trusting in Him. Faith and trust are synonyms. And what is faith? Listen now. You've heard it before. You should be able to quote it with me. Faith is believing the Word of God and acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. If you live that way, there will be joy in your life. Believing the Word of God and acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. And if you will live your life that way, you will live a life of faith. When we put our confidence in anything else, it's going to fail. It will falter. And our joy will be lost. Third stumbling block, chastening or discipline. When we're under the chastening hand of God, there's not much joy and happiness in that, let's be honest. But you know something? We can joy in that. Go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. He is talking here about God chastening us, the Lord chastening His children. He says in verse number 5, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Verse number 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Discipline is not a fun experience. It can't be, or it wouldn't accomplish God's purpose. What is His purpose? To get us to repent of sin. If we don't repent of sin, it hasn't accomplished its purpose. Therefore, it can't be fun. I've mentioned it before when I talk about parents and child rearing. Parents are responsible to discipline their kids. And the rule is the pain of the punishment must exceed the pleasure of the crime. If it doesn't, the kids will do it again. If they don't get in trouble or get in trouble enough, they'll do it again. My favorite thing is when parents send a lazy boy to his room. Go to your room. What's he do? He goes up on his bed and lays there. That's what he wanted to do in the first place. How silly is that? There's no pain in that. You get creative and you find out what will make him say, "I hate this, therefore I'm never doing that again." That's discipline. Do you know who knows that? God. Now, He does it in love. He does it because He loves us. But guaranteed, if you're being disciplined for sin, you will know it. It will be painful. It's not joyous. But we can rejoice even in that because God is our Heavenly Father. He's not letting us go, and He's trying to draw us back into a right relationship with Him. Amen. there is joy there. Through it all, we know that God loves us. Why? For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. The fact is, if you can sin and get away with it, you are not saved. If you can sin and get away with it, you have no relationship with God. If you can sin and get away with it, you are illegitimate, he goes on to say, and God doesn't spank the devil's kids. It doesn't happen. If you are a child of God, He will spank you. If He's spanking you, if you're a child of God, you can rejoice in that fact. Amen. God loves you. Sin in our lives is a stumbling block to our joy. Misplaced confidence, chastening or discipline. The fourth one, experiencing trials of faith. Experiencing trials of faith. We're going to look at James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, a couple of pages over. Once again, trials are no fun. Amen? But you remember the old adage, no pain, no gain. Of course, I always add to that, no sense, no feeling, but that's a whole lot different. No pain, no gain. James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all, what? Joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, the word temptations there is talking about testings, trials of your faith. Knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete and entire, mature and complete, wanting, lacking, nothing. These trials of your faith are God's maturing you. We can rejoice because we know that God is at work in our lives. Amen. Why? He's stretching our faith. He's maturing us. He is completing us. He is building our confidence in Him and making us into the image of Christ. You've heard me say this before, that when God tests your faith, He is not testing you to see what you'll do. We got that misplaced idea, that thought there, that God wants to see what we'll do. He's God. He knows what you're going to do. He knows the beginning from the end. He's God. He knows what you're going to do. He tests your faith so that you know what you're going to do. And more importantly, you're going to know what He's going to do. Amen. That you can trust Him. Why can we rejoice even in that? Go to the book of Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Even through all of that, we can rejoice because we know that God is at work. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He says, we know that all things God can work together for what? Good. To them who are called, to them who are called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? Verse 29 tells us, His purpose is for us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be like Christ. He's got a goal. He's got a purpose. He has a plan for us to be like Christ. We can rejoice in that. He's made us His child, and He wants us to be like His Son. Amen. So, how do we get that joy? Number 2, the stepping stones. John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter number 15. John chapter 15, verse number 11, Jesus said, These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be, what? Full. That you might be full of joy. That you might be joyful. He said, these things have I spoken unto you. So what did he say? If he told us these things so we might have joy, what did he say? He told us, first of all, that if we want joy, we need to be full of Christ. In John chapter 15, verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse number 7, if ye abide in me. Those are the key words. He said it a couple of times. Abide in me. Salvation, true biblical Christianity, is all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to abide in him is to dwell in him. The same word is translated tabernacle. The tabernacle was the place of God's presence. We are to abide in the presence of Christ. Now, don't we? Because where is he? He's God. Where is he? Everywhere. If we trust him as Savior, God in the person of the Holy Spirit has taken residence where? In us. But how many of us actually practice the presence of Christ daily? How many of us acknowledge he's here right now? Abide in him. He uses the illustration of the branch being attached to the vine and drawing all its nutrition and everything that it needs from him. That's what we need to do. Draw everything we need for life from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abide in him. Your life should be what the old believers used to call Christocentric. It should completely revolve around Christ. He should be the center of your life. Amen. Not just some offshoot for Sunday morning or other times when you need him. Joy comes when Christ is the center. Because it's all based on a relationship with him. Full of Christ. Then he said the next step was full of his word. He says in verse number 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you'll be full of Christ and then full of the word. This Bible is the word of God. This Bible is the word of Christ. He is God, and we need to be full of the words of this book. What's the only way we can be full of the words of this book is to read it for ourselves on a daily basis. You need to fill your head, fill your heart, fill your life with the Word of God. Amen. Your life should be full of the Word. The Word of God should be abiding in you, tabernacling in you, dwelling in you. He told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He tells him, retain the word of God. Let it abide in you. Meditate on it. Do it. Be Christ-centered and his word filling your life. Full of prayer. Third stepping stone, verse number 7 again of John chapter 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. He says, and it shall be done unto you. What can you ask God about? What can you talk to Him about when you're abiding in Him and His words are abiding in you? Anything and everything. But I guarantee you, if you're abiding in Christ and His words are abiding in you, you'll be asking the right things. You'll be praying in the right way, praying in the right direction, and God will answer those prayers. You need to be full of prayer. Prayer is a pretty amazing blessing that we can talk to God at any time about anything. We don't pray as we should. We don't. We need to be full of prayer. Full of communion with God. Full of talking with Him. It's relationship. It's communion. Spend time in His presence and talk with Him. Verse number 8. The fourth one, full of fruit. He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Bear much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit should be evidence in your life. If you are full of Christ, full of the Word, full of prayer, guess what? You will be full of fruit. You will have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, temperance, faith. It will be there. You'll have the fruit of telling other people about Christ. If you're full of Christ, full of the Word, full of prayer, you'll be telling other people. Because you're full of it, it will outflow from your life. It will happen. And He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And then He says in verse number 9, full of love. "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Once again, obedience is the proof of our love for Christ. If we're truly full of love for Christ, we will obey Him in everything. If you will take these stepping stones and draw closer to Christ, your fellowship with Him will be strengthened, your communion will be sweet, and your joy will be full. Christian, you've been commanded to rejoice. Are you obedient? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You've done, and thank You so much for Christ, for salvation, for the opportunity to share in Your Word. Lord, I pray that You speak to us right now. Help us to understand that we have been instructed, we have been commanded to be joyful always. Help us, Lord, to take notice of the things that rob joy from our lives and the things that we need to do to make certain there's joy in our life. And Lord, I pray that we would choose rightly. Lord, bless right now every decision that is made. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. You say, "Pastor, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I have a relationship with God because of Christ. I'm saved and I know it." Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. You're saved, you know it, put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. That's great. You can put your hands down. Amen. 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 Christian, you've been commanded to be joyful. Are you? If you're not, maybe it's one of the reasons that we gave today. If you are, stick with it. continue to do those things, that you might be full of Christ, full of the Word, full of prayer, full of fruit, full of love, and joy will come. Say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. I need to be a joyful Christian. Anyone like that? Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. God has spoken to me. One or more of these areas, I need to make sure I'm right with God, doing what is right for His sake. Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to me. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I can't have joy like you mentioned. I'm not saved. I've never been saved. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Anyone at all? Our Father, I pray you'd bless now this invitation. I pray that we would now yield to you and make sure we're not doing the things that would rob us of our joy, but are doing the things that would make sure we have joy, that your joy might be in us, that our joy might be full. Lord, bless every decision that is made. If there is anyone here who has never trusted you as Savior, Lord, work in them right now for your sake and draw them to you. Bless. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Grab a songbook right in front of you. Let's all stand. Turn to page 390. 390. If God has spoken to you, if there's a decision He wants you to make, now's your opportunity to do that. Talk to Him. Make that decision. You need to speak to me, I'll be waiting for you right down front. You need to be saved, I'll be waiting for you right down front. Right now, you come as we sing on this very first verse.